All right, take your Bibles and turn back again to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look with me again, verses 1 through 4. This is our text tonight. And I want you to notice carefully, as our subject tonight is the training of a soldier of the Lord. Are you a soldier or are you a flunky? Now you ought to ask yourself that question. Are you saved here tonight? If you're saved here tonight, God's called you. He's chosen you. He's called you. And He's commissioned you. Now it's a real honor. It's a real privilege. And it's the highest commission you can ever have. And that is to be a soldier in the army of God. Now, one thing the Church of America, of the Lord Jesus Christ has done in the last 50 years, they have become pacifists. And a pacifist is nothing but a coward. Now you say, preacher, wait a minute. No. People come along and they say, well, I'm a conscientious objector. It's wrong for me to bear arms. They don't know their Bible. It isn't wrong to bear arms. If you're saved here tonight, you're a soldier. A soldier doesn't go into battle without armor. A soldier doesn't go into battle without training. And a soldier isn't worth his salt unless he's been disciplined and trained properly. And we can try to give you the training, but I'm going to tell you right now, until you've had some battles and until you've become a combat veteran, you're not really going to know what it means to serve God. Now, you're going to have combat. And you better understand it. And people tonight, so many people tonight, you know, and America has been taken over by the liberals, by the liberalists, and by the humanists, and by the psychologists, and they have turned their back upon the Word of God, and it's no wonder we're in such a mess. No wonder our kids today don't have any foundation. There isn't any training at home. There isn't any training in the school. And the kids today are looking for something that'll give them a security. And they need that. And the reason is this. The church has become infested by a bunch of, a group of liberals. And a group of so-called pacifists. And the average individual today thinks that if you're a Christian, you've got to let everybody walk over you. And if you're a Christian, you know, you never lift a hand against anything. And you become this Mr. Old Milksop. And you don't have the backbone of a jellyfish. Well, beloved, that's not found in the Word of God. Now look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at what it says, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Now that's our text tonight. Tonight our lesson will fall into these two categories. First of all, we're going to look at the reality of warfare in the spiritual realm. Then secondly, we shall also see the rigorous training that is needed to be a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the church is the training ground. The world is the battleground. Your home is also a battleground. You better understand it. And many of you here tonight, you have loved ones that aren't saved. Many of you here tonight have loved ones that don't care about the things of God. And some of you here tonight, you may have loved ones that they say they care about the things of God, but when the chips are down, they're really down. And you have a warfare. Well, now don't be surprised at that. Because as we study the Word of God, we will see that there is the reality of warfare in the spiritual realm. Now, on the one side, you have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and the elect angels, plus the believers. That's the spiritual realm. On the other side, you have the devil, his angels and demons, and all the unsaved. Now there's a warfare between the two. And you'll either surrender or you'll gain the victory. And tonight our training will be to show you how to gain the victory, because I'm going to say to you kindly, some of you believers here tonight are living a defeated life. And it's your own fault. And when we point it out, you may get angry with me, but you'll find out that if you'll examine yourself, you'll find out that your pastor's right. Now let's look at our lesson for a few moments. The reality of warfare in the spiritual realm. Look at verse 3 of our text. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. At the beginning of World War II, with regard to the United States, about December the 8th or 9th, after Japan had bombed Pearl Harbor, they sent their ships to the Philippine Islands. And they began to conquer and landed on the Philippine Islands. And of course, there were many battles that were fought, and so on and so forth. And the forces of America and the Philippines were being defeated. Now, while they were in the jungles fighting, in the city of Manila, there was a big party going on at an expensive country club. And a wounded soldier, came in. And the girls were dressed in their fancy ball gowns, you know, and they were dancing to the music and everything else. And when that wounded soldier came in, one of the young ladies, if I may use that term, turned to someone else and said, "What's that dirty, filthy soldier doing here?" Well, that dirty, filthy soldier stopped the dancing and told them the Japanese were within a few miles of this country club and they better get ready to run. Now, they didn't believe it. And when the Japanese did come in, the first thing they did was rape all the women and kill most of the men. Now, there was no compromise there. And I want to say to you very kindly, you're either going to surrender to the devil and the world and the lust of the flesh, or you're going to war against them if you're a soldier of the Lord. Now, why? There's the reality of warfare in the spiritual realm. Let me show it to you. Take your Bibles now and turn to Job chapter 1. In Job chapter 1, you find this set forth, as we'll look at it from the Word of God. Job chapter 1, beginning with verse 6, where we read, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth or departeth from evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the works of his work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord." Now what do you have here? Warfare. Now let me give you this, and you write it down somewhere. In the Old Testament, the words "the sons of God" always refer to angels. Now write that down somewhere and remember it. In the New Testament, the sons of God refer to believers. Now keep that differentiation and you won't get all messed up. When the sons of God, these were the angels. They came to present themselves before the Lord in heaven. The devil came among them. Now there was no friendship here, because the Lord said to Satan, "Satan, what you been doing?" And he said, "Walking up and down in the earth and going to and fro in it." And the Lord said, "Have you not seen my servant Job?" And Satan said, "Sure. And the only reason he serves you is because you put a hedge about him and you've blessed his substance. Take away everything he's got and he'll curse you." What is that? A slander. Now, warfare involves slander. And Satan is at war. And Satan's method is slander. And if he can slander a believer and get a believer to believe that, that believer is defeated. Now let us soak in. Turn again to Job chapter 2. We find again in verse 1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin. Yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone, and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown, and he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Now what do you have here? More warfare. Now will you listen? Endure hardness as a good soldier. The modern day religion tells you this. If you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, God doesn't want you to be sick. He doesn't want you to be unemployed. He doesn't want you to be hungry. He doesn't want you to be without finances. He just wants to give you a bed of roses. Nothing can be further from the truth. Our Lord tells us in the New Testament, you better learn to endure hardness as a good soldier. Any of you that were in the service, did you ever eat sea rations? Some of you know what I'm talking about. I still won't eat Spam today. I think some of you know why. I won't eat goat meat. I had to eat it during the service. It's all there was. And I'll go hungry before I'll eat goat meat. I can't stand it. But if it come to starvation or eating it, I'd probably eat it. So would you. But you learn to endure hardness as a good soldier. Now this hardness is in the spiritual realm. And you better understand it. And before we get through, we're going to show you where the battleground really lies. Now there's warfare in the spiritual realm. It was seen in the visit of Satan to heaven. It's also going on directly in heaven today. Turn to Revelation 12, if you will. And look carefully. In Revelation chapter 12, and we find in verse 10, verses 7 through 10, there's coming a war in heaven between Michael and the devil. Now, Michael's the archangel. You better understand it. Michael is not as powerful as the devil is. Yet Michael will prevail in heaven against the devil when God casts him out of heaven. The devil has access to heaven at this hour. You know what he's doing? He's at war with God. Look at verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. All right, are you a believer here today? And I'm going to tell you something. The devil hasn't had a good word to say about you since you got saved. And don't expect him to. So don't be upset if some of his followers, which are sinners, will say some derogatory remarks about you. Don't let it upset you. It's the purpose of the devil to slander believers. The reason? There's a warfare going on between God and the devil and between the unsaved and the saved. And there's no in between. Now you say, Preacher, what are you talking about? There's not even an armistice. Darrell Woodward was in Korea for a year. He showed me the pictures that he took of going to the Korean border. The 38th parallel. There's an armistice there. There's no peace. There's never been any peace terms settled between North Korea and South Korea or North Korea and the United States of America. There's an armistice. And that thing can break out into a warfare any moment. When the American soldiers go over there, they are not allowed to take their families. The reason? They are on a constant alert. Darrow was stationed at an air base a few miles south of Seoul, and day in and day out, and week in and week out for the whole year that he was there, that base is constantly on alert. Why? They expect something to happen. Will you listen? There's no armistice between you and the devil. There's a warfare going on. There's no armistice between you and your old flesh, believer. There's a warfare going on. And you're going to surrender one to the other. And the more you try to live for the Lord, the more training you're going to have, and the greater combat there's going to be. But there's a reality of warfare in the spiritual realm. It's going on in heaven at this hour because Satan is doing one thing above everything else, and that is this. He's accusing the believers. And he accuses them day and night before God. He doesn't stop. Now the reality of warfare in the spiritual realm is also set forth in the scriptures. I have no truck with those that are pacifists. You're either for God or you're for the devil. And remember, the church at Laodicea, the Lord spewed out of his mouth because it became lukewarm. In becoming lukewarm, you know what it did? It surrendered to the devil. Now, if you're a believer here today, I'm going to say this carefully, kindly to you, and I'm going to say it emphatically. You're at war. And there'll be no let up in this war until we reach the pearly gates. And we better understand it. Now, the reality of this is set forth in the teaching of the Scriptures. Take your Bibles now and turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and look with me at verses 10 through 18 where the Apostle Paul writes and tells us the reality of warfare in the spiritual realm. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10 down through verse 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places or in the heavenlies. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now that's not a pacifist. That's a warrior. Now that's you tonight, if you're really a saved person. This is your standing. And we better begin to understand it a little better. Now turn, if you will, to 1 Peter. Peter also teaches the reality of warfare in the spiritual realm. In 1 Peter chapter 5, and we find in verse 6 to 11, these words, likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, and the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now what do you have here? Warfare. You see, there's war in the spiritual realm. It's seen in the visit of Satan to heaven. It's set forth in the teachings of the Scripture. And then thirdly, it's experienced by every true believer. Now you say, preacher, what are you talking about? All right, turn to the book of James. James chapter 4. Look with me, if you will, verse 5. Down through verse 10. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain? The Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother, and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law, and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Now what in the world you have here? Warfare. Here's the teaching of the Scripture, set forth in the Word of God. It's Paul to the Ephesians, Peter to the believers, and experienced by every true believer. Now what in the world are you talking about? All right, I'm going to ask you a question. How easy is it for you to gossip about another believer? Real simple. How easy is it for you to find fault? Real simple. How easy is it for a believer to hide behind something? Real easy. That's not a mark of a soldier. That's the mark of a coward. And as a soldier, we've got to learn to endure hardness. And it takes something. And so we have to try to teach you what it means to be a soldier. Now, if you're unsaved here tonight, some of you are, you're not a soldier. You're nothing but a sinner. And I'll tell you something else. You're a hell-bent and hell-bound and hell-deserving sinner. And you may lift yourself up and put on a religious veneer, but God's at war with you until you surrender to him lock, stock, and barrel. And you better understand it. You're not going to please God without, first of all, surrendering to him. And if you haven't done so, then God's at war with you, and he can wipe you out in a moment's time and put you in hell where every hell-deserving sinner ought to be. But I'm glad he's still showing mercy. Aren't you? I am. I'm rejoicing in it. And I'm glad you're here tonight. And every time you come, I just praise the Lord. He's given you one more opportunity to hear. And your rebellion, which you set forth in some of you right now, you look at me reproachfully as if to say, how dare you talk to me like that? You be thankful that I don't single you out, because I have a right to do so. I have the right to talk to you like that. And if I don't do it, then God holds me responsible. And I'll tell you right now, the friendship of God is a lot more important to me than your friendship. And we better understand that. Now here's a reality of a soldier, of warfare. We experience it. Every believer experiences it. How? By temptations and testing. When you walk out of here tonight, between now and next Sunday night, if the Lord tarry and we're allowed to be here again, you may have gone through some real battles. You may have gone through some testings and some temptations. Don't throw up your hands and say, why me? Endure hardness as a good soldier. That's what we're here for. We're at war, people. And we need to understand that. And the weapons of our warfare are not guns. They're not bombs. They're not missiles. It's not a nuclear warfare. It's a spiritual warfare we're in. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's a lot harder to fight a spiritual warfare than it is to fight a physical warfare. Now you listen. Now let's look again. How are we tested? All right, we have a warfare that's experienced by every true believer, by temptations and testings, and then by the false teaching and the teachers. Now you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Look at what it says. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created, to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Now somebody will come along and say, oh, that's speaking of Catholics. Sure it is. You want me to tell you something? It's speaking of Baptists too. You say, what are you talking about? Look with me, if you will, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. You know one of the worst doctrines of the devil today? Want me to tell you? Child psychology. Anyone know something else? A lot of you here are falling for it. I'm going to tell you again. As a soldier, you're under orders. As a soldier, God says, train up your child in the way he should go. And every child has to learn one thing, and they have to learn it immediately, and it takes time to teach it to them, and you start when they're just a baby, and that is this, they have to learn the authority of mother and dad. And you want to know something? Some of you here tonight, you don't teach your kids that. If some of you girls ever talked to my wife, if she was your mother, if you ever talked to my wife, like I've heard some of you talk to your mother, I'll tell you right now, I'd knock you halfway across the room. I'd turn you over my knees so fast, and I'd wail the daylights out of you, and I'd apply the seed of knowledge to the board of by the Board of Education to your seed of knowledge, and you would never do it again. And I came awful close one day to taking old Mr. Susannis, and I told him. I said, you do that again, I said, I'm going to wash your mouth out with soap. Because he called me a dirty name. I cuffed him. And I said, you say it again, I'm going to wash your mouth out with soap as big as you are. And you want to know something? It put a fear in him. He learned one thing. This preacher is not afraid of it. And you may think that you're going to get away with it. But you're not. You're digging a bed in which you're going to weep and you're going to cry bitter and hard tears because you have never exercised your God-given authority over your children. Now, you don't beat them. My boys at home, they loved me, they respected me. They never sassed me. One of them tried it one day. And he learned a bitter and hard lesson. He doesn't sass his old man. And I use that term not in a derogatory manner because that's what they think. Now why? You're a soldier. And a soldier has a battle to fight. And we find very clearly that this is experienced. And what do we have? The biggest battle the church has today is a losing battle because the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm speaking as it is a whole, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ has swallowed hook, line, and sinker the humanistic religious philosophy that is abounding in the land at this hour. You go to a church camp, and I'll tell you right now, you never in your life have seen such a bunch of spoiled brats as you'll find at a church camp. And the leaders are scared of every one of them. And now that isn't to be. It's not to be here. And I'll let you in on a clue. It won't be. When I first came here some 28 years ago, some of you remember it. We were in the old church, and there were five boys, and they were up there in that balcony. And they had written a filthy word across the letter and carved it in by a knife in the metal table of my wife that we were using in the Sunday school. They had a filthy word in there. They didn't think I ever saw it, but I did. And those five boys, you listen to me now. This happened over 20 years ago. Those five boys were cutting up while we were praying. And when we got through, I looked up there and I said, "Now you five boys," I said, "I'll give you 15 seconds to get down here on the second row, or I'm coming after you. The first person that gets in my way, I said, I'll thrash them, and then I'll start with you." And I said it these words, I said, "Get out here!" And it was just as quiet as you are right now. Will you listen to me? Those boys came down. There were five of them. You don't need to try to figure out who they are now. You listen to me instead of talking. None of those five boys ever took the blame for years. But one of them, later on, he was over in Pontiac. He said the Lord saved him. He came over to the church and apologized to me for what he had done in the house of God. And he said to me, he said, "Pastor," he said, "I never forgot what you said." He said, "And God has told me to come to you and apologize to you." And he said, "I'm sorry I did it." I said, "You were forgiven the moment you recognized it." Now you listen to me. He is the only one of all the five that ever even professed to come to Christ. You know where the rest of them are? On their road to a devil's hell, if they're still living. It means something. Now you take your Bible. This is your training. If you're saved here tonight, you've been called and commissioned by God to be a soldier. And a soldier is an individual that's under orders. Now, you're not a soldier, a real soldier, until you've had training and you've been in combat. Now, what is the training that's involved? Well, first of all, we find that we have to do away with a lot of these false teachers. Now, you turn to the book of 1 John for just a moment, chapter 4. In 1 John chapter 4, I want to show you right here. Look at what it says. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Listen to it. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Now, who are you listening to? You better ask yourself that question. Who do you listen to? You listen to the teaching of this church? Or doesn't it mean any more to you than some other teaching? I don't know how many people, some of you have said this, "Oh, we went to so-and-so, and you know, they really preach like you do." No, they don't. No, they don't. And they say, "Well, they're preaching they're preaching the gospel." They're preaching a gospel. You better know the difference. Any preacher and every preacher that doesn't preach Holy Spirit conviction, repentance, and faith is not preaching the gospel. And you want to know something? About 97% are not preaching Holy Spirit conviction and repentance. They're not. Make a commitment. Come down the aisle. Make a decision. That's not the gospel. You better believe, or you better try the spirits, whether they are of God. Now that involves combat. And it involves a temptation. Because so many today, they can preach an easy gospel which is so palatable. And people just lick it up, hook, line, and sinker. Now we have folks right here in this town. I've invited them to come to the house of God. Over and over again, I don't invite them anymore. Some of them have died and others have moved away. But when I used to work at the school, they'd come to me and they'd say, "Did you hear Robert Schuller yesterday?" I said, "No." "Oh, was he good?" I said, "What'd they preach on?" They couldn't tell me. I said, "What was so good about him? Did he tell you needed to repent? Did he tell you that you were going to hell without Christ?" will know what he sure was good. And I won't fail to hear him every Sunday morning. I said, why don't you come to hear the truth? And then he got mad. Now you listen, if you think Robert Shuler is preaching the gospel, you don't know the gospel. If you think Jimmy Swaggart's preaching the gospel, you don't know the gospel. And I can go right on down the line with the majority of our big name preachers. They're preaching a gospel. They are not preaching the gospel. And you better be aware of that. Now why do I tell you all this? Because as a soldier, not only is there the reality of warfare in the spiritual realm, but also there is a rigorous training that's needed. One of the first things the recruits learn when they go into the service, they learn this, that they're in terrible physical shape. They don't know what it is to get out of bed at 5:15 in the morning. They don't know what it is to march a quarter of a mile. Most of them couldn't walk across the street without puffing and panting. They learn what poor shape they are in. And are you listening? In the spiritual realm, it's no different. There is a rigorous training involved. There are four things in the importance or in the basic training that's involved. And I'm going to listen to you. And we find very clearly, if I don't hurry up, we'll never get done. But the basic training involved includes these ingredients. Number one, there's the importance of knowing the Word. Now there's a method to your preacher's madness. And that method is this. I'm asking you to learn the Word of God because you need it. You need to understand what this book is about. You need to hide the Word of God in your heart. Well, why? There's going to come a time when you need it. And also, if you don't know the Word of the Lord God of heaven, you don't know what the orders are given by our commander-in-chief. When I was in the service, and it's still so, it'll be that way next week when I go to camp. Every day I walk into the and I have a little cubby hole over there, and it says on there, chaplain. And I walk over there, and I see if there's any mail, or if there's any requests. I go a little bit further, and there's a bulletin board. Tells me all the activities that are going on in the encampment. Now, in the spiritual realm, it's no different. The Word of God tells us what God wants us to know. It is our bulletin board. And if you don't check your bulletin board, you'll miss out on something. You can't blame God. You'll blame yourself. But one of the basic trainings of a soldier is this. You have to know the Word. Because the Word of God is our bulletin board. It tells us what the purpose of God is. It tells us what we're going to do. It tells us where we're going to go, and it tells us shame on the rest of you. No wonder you don't know anything. And you don't. Did you spend as much time with God's Word as you do with your VCR? I dare say you haven't. You spend as much time with God's Word as you do with the TV? Probably not. No wonder you can't fight. You see, you're missing a basic ingredient of your basic training. And a soldier has to learn that. Now, the second thing a soldier learns is this. Not only is there the importance of knowing the Word, but the soldier learns this. Instruction and obedience is required and enforced. You say, what are you talking about? Well, turn to Romans chapter 6 for a moment. And let me show this to you. In Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 16, We read these words. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Now what in the world are you talking about here? All right, here's instruction. Whatever you yield yourself to, you're that servant. That word servant here means slave. And when God saves us, he lifts us out of the slavery of sin and makes us slaves unto him. But we're soldiers. And the basic training that's involved is the importance of the word, which involves our knowing the word. And we find also there's instruction and obedience, which is required and enforced. Now you say, preacher, what are you talking about? Our Lord says here, to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, those servants are. Now turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And let me go a little bit further. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we find, beginning with verse 3, down through verse 5, these words. Listen to it. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And I'll tell you right now, there isn't one of us here can do that. Now, I'm not going to sit here in judgment on you. But I am going to lay these things out for you to listen to. Now, why do I tell you that? Because God's going to enforce that obedience. You want to know something? Most of the problems that we get into are our own fault. You let it soak in. How many times have you opened your mouth and said something, and just as soon as you said it, you wished you could take it back, but it's too late. Now, as a soldier, we learn obedience. You know, we learned in the service, and it's still the same today, hurry up and wait. What are you talking about? If we leave at 5:30 in the morning, they want us there at 4:30. And we better be there. We're there an hour ahead. Why do they do that? Somebody says, well, they haven't got any better sense. No, sir. They learn, they teach a soldier patience, and they teach a soldier obedience. And it's no different in the spiritual realm. Our weapons are not carnal. They're spiritual. Now, what do we got to do? We got to cast down our imagination. Somebody tells you to do something, well, I'm going to do it my way, and your way is wrong. You imagine you know more than somebody else that tells you to do something. If I were to walk in the computer room, and I'd tap Bonnie on the shoulder as she's sitting there, or Tim, and I'd say, move over, I want to do this. I wouldn't know where to start. And they'd come along and they'd say, all right, we'll instruct you. Well, I don't need your instruction. I'll do it my way. What kind of a mess would we get in? All right, that's what happens in the spiritual realm. And as soldiers, we learn. We learn instruction. We learn obedience. God requires it. And I'll tell you something else. He enforces it. Now you turn to Hebrews chapter 5 and I'll show you what I'm talking about. In Hebrews chapter 5. And look with me. Verse 8 and 9. Here we find. In verse 5, or I should say 5 through 9. Listen to it. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee, as he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication, with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard, in that he feared. Now look at these words. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. You ex-GIs here tonight, you remember when you went over the obstacle course? Remember that 8 or 10 foot board fence you had to lift yourself up on? And if you had any kind of a sergeant like I did, he had a guy there, and with some of them, they had a cattle prod. And some of them get up there, oh, I can't do it. Shit. I'll tell you right now, we did it. Oh, that's terrible. Hold your seat. That isn't terrible. What's it doing? It's training an individual. Why did they say we had to go over a board fence? Because it was silly? No, it was to develop muscles. It was to develop strength. It was to develop cooperation. It was to develop achievement. And the purpose of it is to be able to stabilize yourselves when combat would come. You think it's any different? Not in the spiritual realm. Now, I'm not going to use a cattle prod on you, but I'll tell you right now, God may do it. You think of it, the Lord Jesus learned obedience by the things which he suffered. What are you talking about? He learned these things like we learn them. And yet he was God. And it tells you how far down he condescended to become our Redeemer. Now you say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, there's instruction and obedience which is required and enforced. You know, I can go back some 40 years ago, and I had it real easy. I took my basic training in Miami Beach, Florida, in the middle of the winter. And we used to have to march up and down those sands, and I marched up and down the streets of Miami and walked across the Flamingo Golf Course, and there we took our basic training. And we were fortunate enough, we had a room on the 11th floor, but no elevator. You weren't allowed to use that elevator. We walked up those 11 flights of steps 4 times a day. And many a time we ran them. But we had one man in our outfit. He just wouldn't listen. And so we were refused the privilege of having a weekend freedom. Our squadron, consisting of about 60 or some men, we weren't off on Saturday or Sunday because of this one fellow. You know his problem was? He wouldn't take a bath. And he stunk to high heaven. And so one night, I'll never forget it, and I told the kids at the high school this, I told the girls that when I taught them home economics. And so one night during the week, unbeknownst to him, and unbeknownst to me, the drill instructor came and he said, at the roll call, just before we went to chow, he called us by name. He said, North, here, I want you, and you, and you, and he named 5 others. He said, you meet me after chow right here. Well, we did. We came with him. He said, follow me. We went up to the third floor. Went down to this room, he knocked on the door, and there was this fella. And he said to him, called him by name, and he says, follow me. Went outside, went to the back of the hotel in the alley, and there was 2 GI cans and 4 brushes. And the GI cans were filled with water. And these were old-fashioned scrub brushes, and we had GI soap. And the guy came out there, and we stood there, and he looked at us, and he said, all right. He said, strip it. And so 6 of us, we tackled that guy. There were women out there in the alley. They saw us tackling that guy. We laid him down. We took his clothes off until he lay there naked. And we took those scrub brushes and that soap and water and scrubbed him. And when we got through, he was a rosy pink. And some of the women said, "Look how mean they are." And the drill instructor said, "You civilians mind your own business. This is the Air Force." Oh, my. Will you listen to me? We never again had any trouble with that man. He had to learn by enforcement. Now, you believers here tonight, God going to have to do that to you? Now, instruction and obedience is required and enforced. And one more thing, and I'm going to stop here tonight. There's another thing that's required, and it's enforced. And you know what it is? It's respect and submission to the improved instructor. Now, a lot of you here, you haven't learned that. I've been here so long that some of you think I'm your grandfather. I've been here so long that a lot of you take me for granted. But now I'm going to tell you right now, as far as God's concerned, I'm your drill instructor. And as far as God's concerned, you're under my care. And as far as God is concerned, you are to respect me and you are to obey what I tell you to do. And what I tell you to do, I tell you from God's book. And that is required of you. And when you're asked to do something, you do it as you're told to do. Now, what in the world are you talking about? Well, some people get rather upset. I asked Bonnie Krause, I said, "Bonnie," I said, "would you take care of these plants?" I said, "You're the lady, I want to put you in charge of having flowers here. I don't want anybody else to try to go over her head or sidestep her or any way. You go through Bonnie." Now why? She's under my authority. I've asked Kathy to take charge of the choir. I hear many times, "You're trying to instruct her. You're not the choir director. She is. You learn to do what she tells you to do. And if she doesn't tell you right, then if you know more than she does, you take her aside and then instruct her. But you don't try to tell her to run the choir." And there's one thing I have in the choir, and that is this. I don't want anybody in slacks singing in this choir when you sing a special number. I don't care if you be a woman or a girl. I want you to wear a dress. Well, now why? Because God's pleased when you do. You don't wear a pretty pair of dirty old slacks to go to work in. You don't wear a pretty pair of dirty old slacks to sing God's praises. Now, the reason people do it, I'll tell you, there's no respect there. And God has to enforce it. He will. You say, "What are you talking about?" Well, read the church at Corinth. Look what they did. They thought they could tell God how to have the Lord's Supper. They thought they could do it in any way. What did God do? God made some of them sick. Some of them he put to death. Is God going to have to do that to some believers here? I hope not. But now you learn respect. And I'll tell you something else. You listen. I'm your drill instructor. I'm responsible to try to whip you into a shape so that you can go out and do combat. And if you don't want to listen, you're not a soldier. And then we'll treat you like an old reprobate sinner. We have to. Now this sounds awful hard. I know it does. But it's not. I wrote a young lady a letter some time ago, and I said to her this. I said, "Boy, what a coat you tied up with." I said, "All they know is this and this and this." And I said, "You've fallen for it hook, line, and sinker." And I said, "More than that," I said, "you're turning against those that love you, and you're turning against the truth." And I said, "God's going to let you go, and you're going to have a whole different spirit." Well, boy, I expected a phone call. I didn't get one. I expected a letter. I got one. You know what the letter said? I'll tell you. I sat down and wrote 4 pages to tell you how wrong you were. But when I got through writing those 4 pages, I was made to realize you told me the truth. And you're right. And I want to thank you for that letter. It sounded harsh. But she said, I know there was a lot of love involved in it. Now, I'm preaching to you this way. Because I hate you? No, because I love you. I don't know how you are. But I hope I can infect you with this. The greatest privilege you can have is to be a believer. And the greatest privilege you can have is to be a part of God's army and to sit in a church where the truth is preached and then to share it with others and to go on and take these in combat and show them how wrong they were. And in God's army, we find very clearly there has to be respect and submission to the improved instructor. And then finally, there's got to be separation from the previous entanglements which hinder. Now let me show you. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we read, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, what do you have here? Will you listen? You have here in this portion of the Word of God the picture of a track runner. Now, Bob Johnson has set a record at Almond High School that's never been equaled. It's still there. And Bob still runs. And when I saw him running some time ago, it was cold. But I'll tell you right now, he had on a track suit. Kind of a warm-up thing. I didn't see him running with heavy boots. I didn't see him running with any galoshes. I didn't see any mittens. I didn't see a parka. Now, why not? Because I'm going to tell you right now, you can't run with those things. Now, the Apostle Paul says right here, he said, well, let's lay aside the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, what are you talking about? All right. As a soldier, you have no right to get so entangled in the things of this life you can't serve God. Yet some of you are. Some of you here, you're so entangled. You're so entangled with your finances that if both husband and wife don't work, you can't make it. And I'm going to tell you right now, you better start learning to live on one income. Now that's going to take some discipline. There's a whole lot of things here we could bring out. I don't have the time to do it tonight. I'll save that for next time. But this is some of the things that is involved that are involved in basic training. And I hope that I've said something to you tonight that you'll respect. And not only that, you'll listen to. Now, some of you here tonight, I'm going to tell you right now, down through the years, you've compared me with every other preacher. Some of you here, in all the years I've been here, you never call me pastor. You never do. There's no respect there. In some of the years that you've been here, some of you here, I've never been able to come to your home and sit down at a meal for you. You know why? You don't want me there. And I'll tell you why. You got a rotten spot in your life, and you're afraid I'm going to find it. Now, you better wake up. This business of serving Christ is not a happy-go-lucky jaunt like you're going to Cedar Point. It's a war. And you're going to have to be at war with your old wicked, good-for-nothing flesh that you pamper and you pet and you pride yourself in. And as a believer, you got to put that thing to death. And you got to learn to say no. And you've got to learn to discipline yourself, or you're not a soldier. And I'll tell you this. As God's drill instructor, I'm going to whip you in shape. Either one of two things is going to happen. Maybe three. If you can't be whipped in shape, either you're going to leave or I'm going to leave. That's what will happen. But I'll tell you this. This is God's word. And God has chosen and called and commissioned us to be a soldier. And it's high time we recognize how great a calling we have been gifted with. Now, you sinners here tonight, you can walk out of here and say, well, I don't want that. All right, don't. Go on and go to hell. But you just want your own way. And there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You want your own way, you better be careful. God may give it to you. And if he does, you're never even going to hear the word of God again. But hell will be your eternal damnation. And you say, well, I don't like to have you talk to me like that. No, I'll tell you why you don't. Because you're in rebellion. But you got to surrender. And if you don't, then I'm going to tell you this. You can't be God's soldier. And if there's anybody here tonight that you're going to say, well, nobody's going to tell me what to do, that's the mark of an unsaved religionist. I'll never forget. I'll leave this with you. I'll never forget. I kind of went to service that way. First night there in Miami Beach, Florida, we stood there, and this little old guy about the size of that stable. And he got there in front of us, and he said point blank, he said, I'll tell you right now, I said, I'm the boss here. And he said, you're going to do what I tell you to do. And he says, if you think you can whip me, he said, step out. Well, one person did. And he was about my size. And I'll tell you right now, that little old guy whipped him so fast. And all the rest of them said, hey, wait a minute, we better listen to that guy. Now, God doesn't do that within the physical realm. But God does that in the spiritual realm. And if you're genuinely saved here tonight, no matter how hard I preach to you, and no matter how cutting and personal it becomes, I'll tell you right now, you appreciate it because it does you good. And you learn obedience. And if you continue to rebel against it, and like somebody said, well, I'm stubborn and I know it, but I'm going to stay that way. Baloney. You know what that is? That's a tantrum of a little child. That's all it is. And there isn't anybody here that's too old to learn or too old to understand. And there isn't anybody here that knows everything that ought to be known so that we can't learn. Now, what kind of a soldier do you want to be? A good one or a poor one? God help us tonight. And if you're not saved, may the Lord deal with you. And may he call you into his army through the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we stand? Our Father, tonight, thank you for this time. And Lord, we've only scratched the surface. Now help us to go a little bit deeper. And then reveal these things to us. And apply them individually and collectively to each one of us that know thee. And for these in our midst that don't know thee, we pray, Lord, put a hunger in their heart to come to know thee as Lord and Savior, that they also might be a soldier. But our Father, you teach us now. You help me to be the kind of instructor for this army, this squadron that's here, this unit that you've placed here, that we might be whipped into shape so that we can be effective in the combat that lies ahead. Now forgive us where we fail thee, and work out thy purpose in each heart and life that's here. We ask it, Lord, for thy glory. Amen. Thank you. You're dismissed. If you want to see the film, it'll be ready in about 2 minutes. You go right down.